Over 700 people have been charged in connection to the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol last year. More charges will likely come, but when it comes to extremists, could seeing those they agree with persecuted make their beliefs, their culture stronger or weaker? For more on this, we're joined on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Professor Bill Braniff, director of the National Consortium for the Study of Terrorism and Response to Terrorism at the University of Maryland. So, Professor, what do you think? These arrests, these charges, how much of an impact does it really have on others with similar thinking?
It certainly does have an impact. We've seen historically waves of domestic violent extremism be met with waves of law enforcement crackdowns, and that does historically seem to tamp down the level of criminal behavior, at least for a period of time, before it then sort of creeps back up. So we do see an immediate result of these kinds of tactics, but you're also asking about does it change people's minds? It might change their behavior more than it changes their mind.
There are so many narratives to what happened at the Capitol a year ago, so many divisive ways to get messages out these days from and to people. How much concern is there that a talk show host, say, from Fox or an MSNBC or CNN, they pick up that narrative, they continue to tweak it until the opinion, the host's narrative is taken as fact? Is that even more of a concern these days?
It certainly is. This is kind of human nature. The more often you hear something, the more likely you are to believe that it's true. And so when we have 24/7 news, news channels that have to keep people tuned in, there's an incentive for them to tell more extreme versions of their truth to get people to sort of tap into that righteous anger that is so addictive. And then when that gets amplified on social media and reinforced on social media, you start hearing these narratives over and over to the point where you take them as gospel.
How do you think that happened? How do you think we went from networks that strictly reported news to networks that have found it to become more profitable for opinions?
I think that's exactly the answer. It's that these are not really news organizations or entertainment channels. And the shows are intended to entertain you. Now they don't entertain you by being humorous. They entertain you by really having selling this righteous anger, which requires someone to blame. It's created this really polarized environment in the United States. And, we can't draw a straight line necessarily, but the more polarized a society is, and especially a two-party democracy, the less you start respecting the other side, the less you see compromise as an option. And so if your party loses, then you'll have a small percentage of people who feel like violence to overthrow that result is legitimate. And unfortunately, that's exactly what we saw on 6 January.
You think, have we always been looking for this outlet to blame someone? I mean, in the old days, it was a letter to the editor at the local newspaper that might take a week to get published if it did. And now it's instant. You can send out a tweet. You can call in a talk show.
That's right. We're all super empowered now. We have computers in our pockets that are incredibly powerful. They allow us to communicate and engage with a very narrow percentage of the American population that agrees with us, and then to sort of reinforce those beliefs very fervently. And so we've created a real tribal society, and unfortunately that is sort of overriding our civic norms. Again, very dangerous in a democracy.
So if legal action isn't a deterrent, how do you fight extremism and how do you fight dangerous misinformation on this scale?
Great questions. I'm actually a co-founder of a new veterans organization called We the Veterans. And our mission is to harness the strengths of veterans and military families because these are very empowered communities. These are very powerful communities. And so let's build on those strengths in order to crowd out vulnerabilities to violent extremism and misinformation. And the way we're doing that is by convening multi-sectoral working groups. We need government. We need Silicon Valley. We need academics. We need civil society organizations to invest real time and energy in creating civic culture, a culture that values compromise and inclusive governance, not exclusivity and these anti-democratic forces. If you can create the right culture, policies will follow, right? So a civic culture will allow for, I think, more civil policy, and that is our long-term goal.
Professor, thank you. Professor Bill Braniff, Director of the National Consortium for the Study of Terrorism and Responses to Terrorism at the University of Maryland, and founding board members you just heard of, WeTheVeterans.us.